Start here in downtown Wausau at our Bull Falls Radio Studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Currently sunny skies. Temperature stands at 60 degrees. The time is 8:07. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can also join us on our video stream at facebook.com and go to the Bull Falls Radio page and be able to see our video stream. Give your questions and comments as well. You can also call or text us. Number one, the easiest way to do it is to go to the Civic Media app. Just download the free Civic Media app. Wherever you get your app, search out Civic Media. Download the app, open up the Bull Falls Radio page, and then you can just click a button to either call us or text us. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way by giving us a call or a text at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. We'd love to hear your voice and have your voice be heard on this program between 8 and 10 a.m. every weekday morning. Coming up this morning on the program, in about 12 minutes or so, we will be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot, hear about the midweek forecast as we get closer and closer to the weekend. It looks like it's going to be some beautiful weather, some very moderate temperatures. We'll get all the details with Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:20 this morning. Coming up in hour number two of the program at 9:20, Sean Wright is off this week, so instead we'll be joined by another member of the Grand Theater staff, Anya Hannington. She'll be here to talk about what is going on at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Right now, the ticket push is going on for the upcoming 2024-2025 season. Some other upcoming shows coming to the Grand as well. So Anya Hannington will be joining us this morning at 9:20 as well. But before we introduce our guest for the first hour of the show, need to say hello and good morning to our in-studio engineer and our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
How are you this morning?
Pretty good. I mean, it was a beautiful day yesterday because it wasn't as humid, and now we're getting another beautiful day where it's only going to be in the low 70s, so it's a nice sigh of relief.
You are stealing Brittany Merlot's thunder here. That's
sorry, I couldn't
no
help
no
up.
Literal thunder, but pure, no, no.
Sorry, it's, I couldn't help. I'm very excited about the weather.
I prefer
it's
her
absolutely
thunder.
There you gorgeous.
But good to see you again, Ian.
Good to see you too, Chad.
All right,
good
time.
Morning, Bob.
Yeah, hey, now he's stealing my thunder.
Yeah,
I tell you, this guy is just.
Before you know it, he's going to be sitting right there.
He's going to have a new logo here. Going to have his head on there instead
What's
of my
the
head on there.
I
tell you, it's going to be just. I'll be sitting in that booth, you know, asking to come on the air at certain points. Well, but the voice that you just heard is Bob. Look, Bob, good to see you again.
And let me second that about the weather. Oh, this is glorious. This is the stuff that you really love. It's beautiful outside. I even have to wear my little light jacket, you know, just to, you know, get a little coolish, but it really feels good. Night windows wide open.
Yes,
great.
Good sleeping weather, as you know, because the last week or so,
as a Howard Gronetsky thing was good sleeping weather.
Exactly, the great Howard Gronetsky. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you could appreciate the person on the morning show.
Yeah. And also the guy that followed Gronetsky
exactly.
was pretty good,
no,
too.
He was pretty good as well.
Who was that guy's name?
Louis? Starts with an L.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I tell you, in the last 2 weeks, plenty to talk about. In fact, you came on was it Friday last week? I think it was. Thursday, I think it was. One of the days. But the thing was, there was so much going on. By that point, you wanted to get involved. And even since then, there's been so much going on. I guess we're going to start off with the weekend activities and the assassination attempt on the former president who was now in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. I guess I just thought, general thoughts. Again, it's, you know, where this country is right now, there's just so much pulling in so many different directions right now. General thoughts on what happened on the weekend, maybe the response of the country and folks on both sides of the political aisle. Any thoughts that have come to you over the last number of days?
Well, I go to the basic deal, and that's this: why in God's name they think it's a good idea for regular people, non-military or non-professional people, to be able to acquire automatic weapons that are used for wartime military usage. And right away I'll hear the response back, well, it's a right to bear arms. Okay, let's read that Second Amendment one more time. And I always get to that part that talks about a well-managed militia. And it's like, well, we see it says this one little part of the sentence here is the right to bear arms. Don't get me going on that, because it's something that for some reason am I advocating taking guns away from everybody? No. The hunting class and that, if for personal, if you feel safer having a handgun, well, you get it registered and make it legal, and all that's fine. But automatic rifles and that were basically invented for warfare, it just doesn't make sense to me. And again, you know, I'm looking at it from my perspective, but I'm also going to ask honestly to the hunters out there and the individuals out there, really, is that that important to have that around? And it's and making it available for someone who obviously shouldn't have had one of those in his hands.
And the term common sense gets thrown around a lot, and it really is. I mean, come on. I mean, there's got to be some common sense to this. Again, a 20-year-old getting that kind of weapon. I mean, we have so many different hurdles and so many different other aspects of our life, but at the same time, it feels as though any hurdles that are put in front of people that want to get these weapons of war, basically, no, we can't have that. We have the Second Amendment. And the folks that run for office or in office who tout the fact that they get an A+ from the National Rifle Association, because basically what an A+ is, no rules at all, no regulations at all. That's an A+.
Yeah, when they wrote that Second Amendment, they were talking about muskets.
Exactly.
You know, and people they think it's something that was just written last week. No, well,
that actually brings up a kind of an interesting point that you can taken this issue and many other issues, because I have conversations with those who call themselves originalists, constructionalists, and the idea that these folks who were obviously great heroes of the revolutionary period, but the idea that we can't take what we've learned and how society has changed and where we stand here as we come up on 250 years since the revolutionary period and the Declaration of Independence, the idea that no, it has to be originalist theory, it has to be originalist from the founders who came on. I mean, I just think that the idea that sometimes people don't want to think. They don't want to be able to use their knowledge to be able to say, okay, we've learned something over the last 2.5 centuries in terms of self-government and how to make things better. And yet there are folks out there who I know, I've talked to, that, oh, no, I'm a strict constructionist, I'm an originalist, and based on exactly what the founders thought we should be doing, that's exactly what we should be doing. No, we got to take what we've learned. We got to be able to expand our minds.
And it is a breathable, you know, the Constitution is a breathable item. It's something that they have had changes. I mean, women's right to vote didn't happen until the 20th century.
Which is,
think of that.
I know.
There's
isn't
a lot
crazy?
Of people, you say that, they go, oh, no, they didn't. Women could vote back in the 1700s. No, they didn't. Or the 1800s. I mean, there's all sorts of things that people just take for granted have been always the same. And unfortunately, sometimes what was written in good faith back in the original time gets changed because technology changes. What it takes to live a life changes. I mean, then you'll see the Bible folks start, well, we got to follow the Bible more closely. I says, well, if that's the case, any adulterous woman out there will have to take her to the town square and stone her to death.
Also,
that's biblical law.
You mentioned the fact that people, no way that women couldn't be voting back, you know, in the 20th century. The thing about it, that something that occurred during the weekend after the assassination attempt is there's somebody that I follow on social media. I don't know if you may as well. It's somebody who basically follows Fox News and everything that they do, called Decoding Fox News. And she's, you know, obviously very much involved in trying to, you know, bring light to some of the craziness. But there was a part of a discussion. She says, I was told that Gerald Ford was shot at twice. In like the summer of 1970, I've never heard about this. How could I not know this? The lack of historical knowledge in this country is a major problem right now.
The name Squeaky Fromm was one of the names.
Yep.
I mean, I'm doing this just off
the
top of my head.
They were both in California.
Yeah,
well, within weeks of each other.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of these things that there shouldn't be any of that, you know, happening, but there have been instances throughout our history where we've had political foes being gunned down. But of course, you're talking about weaponry that was a lot less sophisticated than what's out there today. Today is just, you know, you're talking about somebody who is 130, 140 yards away. The other stuff back in those the ammunition wouldn't even traveled 140 yards.
Right. I know.
Back in the day, when they wrote the Constitution.
But again, that people don't even realize that within our lifetimes, I mean that things are that have happened, and it's really a suppression of history right now in this country that needs to change, and it needs to change very, very quickly. So we're going to come back in just over a minute. We'll have more with Bob Look here for hour number one, and we'll also be joined here in just a moment by meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about the weather. The time is 8:18. It is the Wednesday, July 17th, 2024 edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
Yeah, you gotta eat light. Yep, that's a thing.
Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, and again, also at facebook.com, and the Bull Falls Radio page. And failed to mention that for those of you who normally go to x.com, well, Elon Musk is planning on spending $45 million a month on a Trump super PAC, so now he wanted money from us to keep streaming on it starting this week. So unfortunately, we're only on facebook.com now. So I think we'll talk more about that a little bit later.
You know, times are tough for old Elon.
I know. Yeah. So he needs us to put a couple of coins in
there.
He's
down at least a couple hundred million.
There you go.
Last week, so.
But again, so check us out, facebook.com. Go to the Bull Falls Radio page. You can see our video stream right there. And as we talked about a few minutes ago, just a perfect morning right now as I take take a look out onto Washington Street here in downtown Wausau. Lots of blue skies, a few puffy clouds out there, plenty of sunshine, calm conditions, temperature around 60 degrees. And can we expect this to stay the same for the rest of our Wednesday? And as we get closer and closer to the weekend, well, the person with all the answers, who always has the answers here at 820 on the program, is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Wausau. How are you guys?
Doing good. I got to say something before we get into today's weather, because yesterday we kind of, you mentioned that there was a 10% chance of maybe a little bit of rain. And as I was leaving here, it was about 6 o'clock, and I get out into my car, and all of a sudden, a couple of drops come down. It must have been about 4 or 5 drops on the windshield. And my first thought is, Brittany was right. There was a 10% chance of getting just a couple of drops. That's all there was, like 4 or 5 drops on the windshield. So once again, you hit it right on the bullseye.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, those little sprinkles snuck in there yesterday, even though nobody wanted them to.
No, it was such little. But as I said today, boy, I mean, for this time of year, I mean, normally, you know, we had a little dose of it where we had the heat and the humidity, some tougher sleepy nights. Boy, right now, this morning, perfect, isn't it?
It sure is. I will be honest with you, though, I was a little nervous last night to open the windows. So I kept the AC on one more night. But not today. It is off. The windows are open. It feels fantastic. And this day is going to just be perfect. Below average temperatures for mid-July, but a nice refreshing break from what we've been through. So the mugginess is gone. The case of the muggies, say goodbye. At least until next week. That's when it comes back. So we're going to feel this crisp, dry air mass that is filtering in today. That's why we've got these breezy winds. They will gust to about 15 to 20 miles per hour throughout the afternoon, but it's all going to be pulling out of the north. That's that crisp, cool, refreshing air mass taking over. And highs today only climbing into the low 70s. And in fact, if you were to go further north, some upper 60s. That's it for today. Very comfortable.
And dry. We need some dryness, don't we?
We sure do. No rain in the forecast for today, tomorrow, or Friday. The next chances start to sprinkle in on Saturday afternoon and into the evening, and then also Sunday from those pop-up showers and storms with that humidity sneaking back in. So all of that holds off till the weekend and next week. So dry stretch. A lot of farmers need it. There's muddy fields across the state. A lot of planting is behind. I know the potato farm down in Plover is struggling right now. Farmers planting peas as well. I mean, diseases, just puddles, and you're basically drowning the plants in a sense. So this dry stretch, 100% needed, not only for us and being comfortable, but farmers and the food.
And that wind helps do that too, drying the things out. So,
absolutely.
And you mentioned diseases. I think people don't realize that. That is something that is a factor when you do get all this rain and you get that flooding. That is something to think about, isn't it?
Absolutely. Honestly, they're asking people to, if you have private wells, to get them tested. Because if you think about it, sewage can seep into some of our wells. Even if you don't see big, massive flooding ongoing in your yard or wherever you are, they do want you to check it just in case, because this year has been nearly record-breaking from how much rain that we've gotten. Yeah.
All right. What are the details here for the weather forecast for the middle portion of the week as we head downhill towards the weekend?
Yes. Sunny, bright, beautiful today. No rain in the forecast. Breezy winds, much cooler. Highs hitting about 72 degrees. Tomorrow, the winds will ease. The sunshine will stay abundant, and we'll climb into those mid-70s. And then as we go into Friday, some upper 70s will start to be felt. The mugginess stays away. The sunshine stays bright, and we stay comfortable. So everything is good to go into Friday. And then Saturday, we'll start to flirt with the low 80s. A little bit of mugginess will start to filter in. Nothing too crazy. But chances for showers and storms do pop up by Saturday afternoon and evening. And the same story for Sunday. Low 80s for us. Some scattered showers and storms may pop up again by the afternoon and evening.
Are you going to have an opportunity to take advantage of this great weather? Get out there, because I know you love taking advantage of these beautiful days.
Oh, 100%. I'm going to go out there and get a bike ride in, and maybe I can get some kayaking done tomorrow. All right. Fingers crossed.
All right. Very good. Well, Brittany, again, thank you for the information. Have yourself a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Enjoy the day, guys.
Bye, Brittany.
That is our Brittany Merlot meteorologist, joins us every weekday at 8:20 right now in downtown Wausau. Again, just a lovely start. Temperature of 60 degrees under plenty of sunshine right now as well. It's a calm, but we do expect a little bit more in terms of the winds. But right now, the winds are coming out of the north at 10 miles per hour. Doesn't look like it. Well, it's kicked up in the last couple of minutes, actually, since I looked out there. Yeah. But 10 miles per hour. The dew point is 53. Relative humidity of 78%. The barometer at 30.01 inches and is rising. And the visibility is 10 miles. So, again, get out there. Enjoy it. Beautiful time to get out there. Don't have to worry about heat stroke like we did over the weekend from time to time. And hopefully, again, just a few dry days to give people an opportunity to cut. I went up to our old place. There have been times that the grass has gotten a little bit long at the old place. I saw that the person who's taking care of our lawns cut it down a little bit. All right. So that's good. So the city will not be on my back, because when it gets too long, the city will say, hey, got to go and cut that lawn. So fortunately for that. But that's one of the things where you have to pick those dry days and get out there and take care of business when it comes to mowing the lawn.
You better believe it, yeah. And as I said before, this is the kind of weather that, you know, we wish would be here like, you know, 6 months out of the year rather than just maybe a couple of months. And This is why we like this, living in this part of the world.
It certainly is one of the great times of the year to be here in North Central Wisconsin. Hey, a lot of folks are in Wisconsin. Some Republicans have come into the state for the Republican National Convention. Our Terry Bell is leading our staff down at Civic Media. And coming up here in just a moment, as part of our information update, you'll hear from Terry Bell in Milwaukee. Plus, we'll get national and international news from CBS. Brittany will be back with a look at local news and weather, and Mike Clemens will have a look at sports, including the All-Star game from last night, where if you're a betting person, bet on the league that the Milwaukee Brewers are not in. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on as well. So an information update coming up, and then we'll be back with Bob Look, talk more about the news of the week and a whole bunch more. The time is 8:29, 60 degrees under sunny skies. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Life is so strange when you don't know. How can you tell where you're going to? You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change and then you won't know.
Destination Unknown. That's the name of the song, and I think in a lot of ways, destination is unknown.
I heard that, and I'm going, this sounds like we're being led into a topic here.
Destination Unknown. Chad
sometimes
Holmes.
I just pick a song, and sometimes it just
it works.
You're just brilliant without even knowing it, right?
Sometimes I just look at the title, I'm like, okay, let's try this and see if it's a good fit.
That is...
he's the Leonard Bernstein.
There you go. That's Ian Welsh.
Big Falls Radio.
That's Bull. That's Bob Look, and I'm Chad Holmes. Bull Look. No.
Same thing.
I'm Chad Holmes, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Before we start delving into everything else, one other point that I wanted to make here in the aftermath of Saturday's assassination attempt of Trump. If you're playing the DEI drinking game, Ron Johnson, he blamed it. He blamed it, the fact that happened on DEI. it's almost like but Ron Johnson, I mean, what a few days. Blame DEI on Monday. Then he spoke at the RNC. He says that his red meat speech was the wrong script, but he stands by it all. Ron Johnson, you know, the thing I shake my head at, we're still 4 years away from the next time he's on the ballot.
Yeah, well. I told the story before, back when he was running his second time running for Senate after he had defeated Russ Feingold the first time around, and they had a rematch 6 years later. Right. And the place where I was working, another civic media affiliate down in Wisconsin Rapids, and we have an open door policy, where which is all what I've done throughout my career in this business, that whatever liberal or conservative, Democrat, Republican, independent, makes no difference. If you're running, you're an actual candidate that's on the ballot, you have an open door that you can, you know, come on and do an interview. So I had this wide open for Russ Feingold. You know, he said, you know, how long this is going to be? And I says, this will be maybe 15, 20 minutes. Okay, we'll call it this such and such time. And they called it. There was no questions sent to me. There was no, you know, this is the topics that he'll only cover or what. It was wide open. That was for Russ Feingold. Now for the other guy, they said, how long is this going to be? 15, 20. Can we keep it closer to 15? Well, yeah, okay. It's all right with me. But well, here we have a list. We have 10 questions and topics that we'd like to focus in on this call. And instead of me saying, oh, no, we don't, I just said, oh, okay, thank you. I just took them. And we started out the interview with the senator. And so, like, the first two questions, I kind of, you know, in my own words, but not the way they're written, you know, gave him the softballs to start things right off. And so after the second response, which was just an open-ended, what would I like to, like a big crater that he left there of doubt with what he said, and I followed up.
You listened.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it was like magic. The cell phone just, I'm sorry, Bob, I just can't hear you. You're breaking up. I said, oh, you sound fine, Senator. Everything's clear on this end. Did you say something to me, Bob? And he did the old, well, I'm sorry, I can't keep talking. I mean, because I can't hear you. And he just continued the interview.
It's actually a very good point that you bring up here, because last week on this program, and in fact, on Thursday, last Thursday, Chris Conley wrote a commentary about exactly this kind of topic, where, because I recall back when you were running in 2022 for the state Senate, something that you would bring up to me when you'd come in here said, they will not let me on the air. They will not let me on the air. And our policy here as well is keep the doors open. If you are somebody out there who is a elected official.
I did not demand an interview. All I says, I am a candidate and I'm available at your convenience. I'd be happy to discuss. There's going to be no advanced questions. You can ask whatever you want. I'll, you know, however long you want to talk to me, 5 minutes or whatever. I ended up having to also buy advertising with that company.
Well, let me explain what Chris said. I don't know if you caught this, but Chris Conley said, and the thing is, he's been getting complaints about Meg Ellison from Republicans because they will not allow certain, even Republicans who are running for office, on their airwaves.
In these primaries.
In the primaries. Yeah. And, of course, they're not allowing any Democrats on. But basically, Conley comes on and gets all huffy with all these folks saying that, you know, he says, let me explain how this works, he says. And he says, it's all about the ratings. That is as far away. Yes, ratings are part of the equation when it comes to being a successful business. But also the Federal Communications Commission says that, hey, to give you this license, you got to be able to serve the public interest as well. And he says, that doesn't matter. It's all about ratings, and that Meg Ellison has great ratings, so she can keep everybody and anybody off their airways, which is wrong in every sense of the word.
So you're saying he was kind of choking off any kind of participation. He was strangling the other people who may want to talk on their airwaves.
Yeah. So basically says that, and then, like you said, you have to go and buy some advertising, because he says it's important to know that no candidates are shut off from accessing WSAU's audience. Anybody can buy advertising. But that's just not right, because part of the deal here with the public airwaves is to allow discussion, to bring in points of view that may we don't agree with. A few weeks ago, I had a Republican who's running for the state assembly, Corey Sillers. I think you've seen the banners around. Very conservative candidate running in the Republican primary against Mayor Jacobson of Mosinee.
Yep.
And he came on, and we had a discussion. We had, you know, a couple of segments talking about the issues. I asked him some of the questions that I wanted to have. He was able to get his message out there as well. I think that's good for the community, that we are able to talk to both sides and get, hey, it's important to know what the policies are for everybody that's running for office. This idea that because the ratings for the Meg Ellison show are good, that he's not going to allow certain Republicans and basically all Democrats to come on the airwaves is wrong on every level, in my opinion.
Well, again, FCC does offer licenses for the stations to serve the communities that they're licensed to. And speaking of Jacobson, Mayor Jacobson, who happened to knock on my door last week.
Oh, really?
And you know, and I open up the door, and he goes, oh, not a hi, hello. I go, oh, I go, hey, how you doing? He says, fine, I'm just, you know, working the door, you know, going door to door. He says, well, great, how you doing? And we had a nice conversation.
Absolutely. I mean,
10 minutes we just talked, you know, about, you know, the state Senate race that he was in the primary and lost to the eventual winner. And, you know, and I had sent him a little note via his email at the mayor's office there in Mosinee, just saying, you know, it's a pleasure meeting you at the, you know, the couple times that we were in the same situation together and that, and I, you know, wish you all the best. You know, just something like that. And we just had a nice, you know, little chat out there. And he says, well, you know, I'd appreciate your vote. And I says, well, I got a funny feeling I'm not going to be going on to the GOP side of the ballot, even though that's where most of the races are. But, but anyway, you know, wish you, you know, the best and, you know,
but again,
stay healthy.
But again, the idea that
this
radio station will not allow different voices on the air is so wrong. And he says it's wrong for a candidate to assume they'll gin up publicity through free interviews on various political talk shows. No, the idea is about having discussions about the issues. So all the people of the community that, you know, if you're a conservative who listens religiously to WSAU, hey, having a discussion with somebody that doesn't toe the Meg Ellison, Chris Conley party line is actually a good thing. But apparently there's a fear on the Ellison-Conley side that we can't have anybody that goes outside the lane, the very narrow lane of their version of conservatism. Well, so, again, I'm glad that you had that policy back when you brought on Ron Johnson. That's our policy here as well.
And also Scott Krug, who was a state assemblyman in that area, and he was in our coverage area, he had a once-a-month program on our, you know,
Scott,
basically talking
Scott
about...
Scott Krug has a program on civic media, in fact.
All right.
So
the point being is,
and also we have plenty of former Republicans on the airways too, and I know some people probably say, oh, you know, we wanted to, you know, but having different voices is a good thing, and then it should actually reinforce that you should be able to feel better ultimately when you have all the information and then you're able to say, hey, this is the way to go.
But you know, you have some folks who are, you know, now disavow being a Republican, but are they really? You know, the fact that some of the gloves have come off now that, you know, that Trump has you know, got the nomination locked up, and he's kind of like, you know, getting things ready to go. But there's also, you know, the Republicans who were part of the party, but now no way, shape, or form support the presidential candidate on the GOP's ticket. One of them being a former congressman, Joe Walsh, who has been a part of policies and politics for some time. And of course, just as soon as I was going to read this, then my deal just decided to wipe it out. But he basically said, and he says, talking about other people who look at the current nominee and they just like, oh, he's not that bad now. Oh, he seems to be a little more level-headed. And he just basically said, don't normalize this guy. don't even put the word normal next to him in a sentence. It is not normal. You've got a choice coming up here, coming up in November, folks. It's one, voting for somebody with reason or voting with someone who likes treason.
I actually, you know, I think a good example of how to talk about it came from the president in his interview with Lester Holt earlier in the week, because Holt was getting on his case about, oh, you use some language and blah, blah, blah. And then the president just turned on him and said, hey, am I not supposed to say that he is a threat to democracy when he has said that he wants to be a dictator on day one, and that he has been, you know, using the language of fascism and the ideas of fascism? Am I not supposed to say anything? This is an election. You need to be able to see what that person is. Exactly right. I agree with you 100% on that.
Joe Walsh said, do not normalize him. He's the only president in American history who lost an election and refused to concede or participate in the peaceful transfer of power. Yeah. He then tried to overthrow the elections, and that happened right here in this country. He did that. No one else did that. No one on the Democratic side raising any kind of cane. This is the deal, folks. And again, if you agree with him and you are a supporter of him, fine. Who I'm talking to are the people, as I've talked about before, the common sense brigade, the silent majority that's in the middle, who just listens to both sides and takes it in and makes their decisions that way. And I think that the more and more you look at things, the more and more you start realizing just what direction this country could be going into, as opposed to where it is now, with economic news is outstanding and all the other things that were okay. That's all facts and figures, but I want to put a real easy focus on this. Do you want your freedom? Do you want your rights that you've had all your life? Well, you better keep it a democracy, folks.
And also, the difference between now and 2021, early 2021, is that the Supreme Court has now said that Donald Trump, in his position as president, would be able to do basically anything he wants. So, I mean, talk about something that's been under the radar the last couple of weeks. That was only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we're not really hearing, I think, enough about that. We'll be back in just over a minute. More with Bob Look. The time is 8:49. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Before we turn to your other hat that you do so well on your social media, talking about the Brewers and sports, anything that else before we wrap up the kind of the news, political aspect that you want to mention before we turn our attention the last few minutes to a little bit of lighter fare?
When I called you, you knew what I was more upset about was all the cries. Basically telling Joe Biden he's got to resign, he's got to step aside, he's got to do this, he's got to do that. And I was very vocal about the point. It's his decision, folks. He is the one in charge. And I was on the small end of the people voicing that, but look how things have changed. You know, let's not be – this isn't drive-through politics here, folks. You got to think, you got to be smart, you got to be calculated, and you also got to use common sense. And that's what all I wanted to say. Speaking of sports, can I just drop a little thing in here? 2 weeks from today, on July 31st, I believe, is the date, there's going to be a benefit down in Madison, the Bob Suter Memorial Fund. Mm. Bob Suter, who was a member of the 1980 USA Olympic champions, and he's been part of Madison area hockey net. He's got indoor ice facilities and that. It's the home of the Madison Capitals. And they're having a fundraiser.
Home of the state hockey championships, too.
Yeah. Oh,
I knew you were going to give me that look.
Don't.
I feel kind of the same way about it.
WIAA, turn off your radios now, all right?
I'm sorry.
But anyway, Bob you know, he passed away not that long ago, but they have this memorial fund, and they're having an exhibition down at their ice arena there, and it's going to be a whole bunch of former Badger males and female players, and also other NHL players who are going to be participating. I mean, Joe Pavelski is going to be participating, Ryan Suter, a member of the Badgers, but also Trent Frederickson, who played for the Badgers, he now plays for the Boston Bruins. Jake McCabe, who plays for the Toronto
Maple Leafs,
who used to play for the Badgers, but also Tony Granato is going to be there, former
That's
coach.
That's great.
He's not going to be on the ice, that, but he'll be coaching, but they're also female players. And it's just a nice little fun scrimmage. And then there's autograph sessions. You can bid on their uniforms that they're doing. And it all goes to for money to help fund hockey, the hockey programs in the Madison area. Now, it has nothing to do with Wausau, okay?
No.
But what I'm saying is if you want to have a fun time and see some, you know, Brian Elliott, the former goaltender, NHL goaltender for years, all these people out on
legendary
the ice.
Badgers,
yeah,
I mean, national champions, all, I mean, so many of them.
And it's a great cause, and you'll be in a refrigerated building, and it could be like 85 or 90 degrees
and,
that night.
And will be Bob Look be on the microphone?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm just, I'm just,
I know, but you should, they should have you on the microphone.
Well,
come on.
You know, they can't afford me.
but that is cool because, I mean,
I plan on maybe getting down there to participate because I wanted to see a whole bunch of some of the past players because
you know them all.
It just the stuff that goes with Davis Drewiski is going to be out there also, Josh Engel.
Davis Drewiski, though, has caused too much heartbreak because Hudson has caused too many ends of the season for Wausau West over the
it's
years.
Not, it's not bad when your first 2 years as a head coach, you win the state championship. That's pretty impressive.
It's good that he's there, but have a raised eyebrow with that. But
Davis, it was really funny when they had that in Wisconsin Rapids for the state because of COVID,
mm-hmm.
and Drewiski's coming in with his team, right, and he sees me, and they had the girls' championship was playing. I'm sitting in the warming area. He comes walking by and he looks at me and goes, "Bob, what are you doing here? You doing the PA?" And I go, "No, I'm doing the television." "Oh, wow, cool, you know." And he says, "Man, that's great." And we talked for like 20 minutes. I says, "I think you got your team." You know, maybe a little busy.
He knew how good they were.
Yeah, he knew that they were a pretty good team. So,
hey, anyway. Last night, All-Star game. Yes. Any thoughts on that? I tell you, please
have the players wear their own uniforms.
It sounds like it might happen.
I saw that they're talking about it. So Rob Manfred, please, that was what was so appealing,
yes.
was all the uniforms of the, but not their specialty, city
Nike. Make money for Nike. No, they got enough money.
Do the Cardinals have their, the yes, birds on the bat,
yes.
Yankees pinstripes.
And the thing about it, when they're all wearing those different uniforms, their own uniforms, it jumps out more. It doesn't. It explodes when you watch it.
Baseball isn't a game that you need to have different colored jerseys. I mean, one for teammates because you don't care about, teammates because of the way the game is shaped. It's not like football. It's not like basketball. So, please.
Hey, and you also,
thank you.
You also do on your Facebook page, your Brew Crew Review. And frankly, last week was a bit of a disappointing week. I mean, that was like a week you thought.
The results weren't good. But
you thought they're going to kind of make some hay, and they lose 4 of 6 between Pittsburgh and Washington. Any reason to worry, I guess, is the question.
No. Pat Murphy kind of talked about it right in the middle. He says, seems like some of the guys have already started their All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of quietly got that point across. So when it got to the last game, there was some spirit in that team, and they were like not going to go down, stinking up the joint. So I think it's, again, a starting pitcher, a veteran starting pitcher, or someone with experience in playoffs would be a really nice item to have, because that bullpen is going to be really tired when we get to end of August and September and playoff time of all the innings that they're putting in. I mean, they're doing a lot with a little, but yeah, it kind of, you know, I've been watching Hobie Milner a lot. You know, he's done 3 years of basically been the left-hander that's always the first one come out of the, and he puts in all those appearances in a year, and not that he's faltering by great numbers, but come on, let's get some starting pitchers that last a little longer.
And I think these, you know, these games, got Minnesota for a couple, then the Cubs, who have started to play better baseball. Mm-hmm. I think for the Brewers, I gotta put the foot on the Cubs' neck early next week.
Oh, well, it's fun, and this is the dog days of baseball coming up here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun August and September, I think, for the crew. So, hey, Bob, always good to have you on board.
Well, thanks, and you actually saw us this week.
Very good, terrific. Have a enjoy the weather, and we'll catch you again. And again, if anything pops into your mind, I like that last week when you called in. Well, that adds to
it's only when the hair in the back starts standing up.
Hey, anytime. We'd love to, you know, hear your voice. So that's Bob Look. All right, coming up, we're going to focus on the Grand Theater. We're going to talk about what's happening at the Grand coming up in hour number two. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.